We have a lesson that I would like to visit about a little bit with you, and it's one that has stood out to me that in times of need that I've gone back to and studied for myself, and it's one that I believe that you will look at also that will hopefully help you in your life about your thinking, about thoughts. You know, when you think about thinking and thoughts in your mind, it's probably one of the most protected things that you have that you're able to really try to prevent anyone from ever knowing that's what's in there. You're including your wife or husband or a friend or your family. You know, it's one of those things where most of the time, you know, your a mom can look at you and say, I know what you're thinking about. Or a wife can look at you and say, I know what you're thinking about. And when you're around people that you're real close to, many times we know that, yeah, they probably do. But really, do they? Because sometimes there's things in there that we truly are, maybe we're ashamed of. You know, when you think about sin in our lives and the things that we just don't want to turn loose of, those as Christians, if there's things and weaknesses that we have, we don't want anyone to know about that. You know, the Bible speaks many times of hiding sin, of being a prideful problem in our lives, and it truly is. And this is a lesson that many times that I've gone back to, because if there's issues in our lives and we need to correct it, and there's God's word that will apply in those areas, we need to go in there, find out what's going on in our mind, and know how to shut it down. You know, right now, with that question, what are you thinking about? You know, if you study and look at some counseling and things of that nature, with people, one of the things that you'll notice many times is that they just don't want to be honest. They really don't. They still want to hang on to whatever issues are going on in their lives many times, for whatever reasons, if they enjoy it or are just protecting or just think that I'm right, they just don't want to be honest about it. And so one of the things that people will teach you to do is to look at the body language, see how if they're doing this, you know, or if their nostrils are flaring, and there's a lot of things about the body that you can look at to see what's going on with that person, if they're closing up, if they're clamming up, if they're going to open up, and things of that nature. If you look at those things and try to read them to the best of your ability, sometimes it will still throw you. It's just hard to tell. But you know, here's the thing about what are you thinking about. We may not know what each other are thinking about deep down in that brain, but Jesus does. And you know, one of the things that we can read about in the Bible is that Jesus knows everything about you. Matthew 9, 2 and 4, it says, And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Just ask them straight up. Why are you thinking this evil? And that he knew their thoughts. So we think about ourselves that we are so protected in our minds that we've got this thing going on with ourselves, with other people, that we have an advantage, whether it will help us in business to know things in our minds, that we're able to lie and cheat and these other people don't know it. Or if we're a type of person that would commit adultery and we have our thoughts in here looking at someone, but yet we're just looking, but we're not taking action or saying anything, but we still have that thought going and we say to ourselves, nobody knows. Or if there's any other thing that is contrary to God's word, that Jesus knows it. You know, it's our thoughts are, there ain't no in between. It's good or bad. These thoughts that we have to ourselves is two things. 50-50 shot, it's going to be pleasing to God. And so when we find out in these scriptures how to control some of this stuff and get these things out of our minds is what we're going to look at. How to identify and make a decision. Is this of God or is this of the Satan? That's one of the things where I want this lesson to be a focused lesson to look down on and into as a focused lesson and concentrating about one thing that we can do before thoughts gets into lust and enticement, and they go into actions, whether it's a lie, whether it's adultery, whether it's cheating, whether it's greed, flat out just dishonesty, manipulation, anything that goes on in your life that is not right with God, we need to be able to look at it and make a decision. Is it of God, or is it of Britt Doty, or is it of you? And when we can make those decisions, at that time, we can say, if it's not of God, then we need to correct that in our lives. Let me ask you a question. You got any anger issues in your life? Got any jealousies in your life? You got any other thought patterns that's not appropriate to God's word? Any kind of personality traits that we know is not right, that it speaks of, greed? Anything. Okay? Take God's word. Read about it, what it says about it. If it's not of God, we've got to stop it. We've got to stop it. And the way we can stop it is to get in the word, identify it, focus on it, and see what we need to do when using God's word to defeat those things. God weighs our paths. Proverbs 5:21 says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." If we are a part of man, and we are, we know that God is weighing exactly every move that you're moving. Whenever you go in your life and you're not treating your wife right, or your husband right, or your friend right, or your coworker, or a business partner, and you're manipulating and cheating, or doing anything else, or having anger issues, bitterness, unforgiveness, no mercy, we find out God is weighing every move that we go. He knows the numbers on our head. Jesus knows our thoughts. So when we move to the left and we go a wrong way, God is weighing that, pondering our goings. Brit, you better get back on the right trail. That is not a trail that you need to go down. There's bitterness in your heart, or there's anger in your heart, and that needs to stop. Why? Because the actions that you do because of those thoughts and those things that's going on in your lives is bleeding over to other people. It's bleeding over to a spouse or a coworker or a friend. And you know what? Most of all, it's not godly. And so those are the things we think to ourselves that we can justify in our minds, because nobody else knows it. Nobody knows what's going on in that mind, so I can justify to myself, hey, it's okay. It's all right, a little bit of a lie, just lie to him. Get by and go a little further in life. Didn't hurt anything. God knows your goings. He knew you just made a left turn. And you know, we find out and we justify and we just move on, and our heart hardens and our mind just smooths it all over, and we continue in this life when God truly weighs our thoughts and our goings. The wicked will not keep God in their thoughts. You know, when you look through the history of the Bible, let's just take our mind off ourselves for a minute and look at the people of the Bible in the history of long ago. And let's read some scriptures here in Psalms 10:4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. There's a few types of people in thoughts, if you think about it. There's some people that long ago, their heart hardened, and God was just not in their thoughts at all, period. So when the heart hardens and you don't use God in your life, you're not going to make those decisions in your life. So whether it's unbelief, no belief, whatever was going on in those people's life, God was not in the thoughts. So you think about that. The pride of his countenance, the stubbornness of his countenance, the stubbornness in his face. Why should I listen to God? It's like Pharaoh. Who is this man to tell me what I need to do? And as us, when we have sin in our lives and we make decisions in our lives to go ahead and sin, who is God to tell me what I need to do? The pride of my face, the countenance of my face. Nostrils flared, chest puffed out, head up high. Good old fashioned pride. God ain't gonna tell me what to do. I'm going to act the way I want to. Very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. And for you and I to have that attitude, just because nobody else knows what's going up in our little bean up here, think that we're getting away with it. We're not. God is keeping tabs. He knows and weighs our thoughts and which way we turn in life. Let me tell you, God's reactions here towards continual evil thoughts in our lives. This is another very dangerous place to be. Genesis 6:5-6. Let's look at the history here. Back in the days of Noah, when there were 8 souls that was righteous. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that there was every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. He was sorry he made man. Have you ever made something? Have you ever made anything in your life? Ladies, you've done craft. Men, get out there and build something with wood, be a man, weld something, put it together, and you look at it and go, man, that's not too good. I've been there. I've done it before. And there, I try, and there's been times that just frustrated, and I'll just tear it up, start over, or just throw it away. I mean, I try. Maybe I have a little skill on some things, but there's a lot of people who has a lot more skill in whatever the trade they're in. So that's really probably the best thing, is just hire somebody to do that for you. But I have never been where I was able to build a man. Have you? We're not God. God is all powerful. He built man. He took, made woman, made man. Look what he did. And it grieved him at his heart that he ever made it. He wanted to just start over. Can you believe that? Why? Continual evil thoughts. So therefore, in your frustrations, when you made that and you just tore it up and threw it away, remember how you felt? When all the evil thoughts that were continuance of evil, God's like, I just want to tear it up and start over. And that's just what he did. So it's not a good place to be. God does not like evil thoughts, especially continual. So where are we at? You know, whenever there's evil thoughts, it may not be continual. And I think as Christians, God definitely is in our lives, should be every day. Every day God's in our lives on the decisions we make. And we can have looked at a few examples here about thoughts. Maybe it's a thing for you Christians is every now and then a bad thought comes in, but we have a lot of good thoughts. So what do we do as Christians? We got to take thoughts captive as they come. We got to filter them, get rid and decide on what's right, what's good to keep, not to keep, that kind of thing. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So when we read this scripture right here, it tells us a lot of things. Let's start up here in verse 4. To notice, to start with, we have weapons in our arsenal God has given us that is mighty. And you know, spiritually speaking, if we're dealing with the darkness of this world and the spiritual things in high places as brother and sister in Christ, we're not dealing with physical things that we touch, are we? We're dealing with things that will control this up here in the heart and the mind. So if we're dealing with that, we're finding out exactly, as Christians, what to do with it. We've got to get to a byproduct of all this is to be obedient to Christ, to bring those thoughts into captivity. To start with, let's look at strongholds and kind of think about that a little bit, what that definition is and the translation of it is. It's fortified. It's a castle. It's something that they built back in those days as strongholds, and they're using these physical terms in here for you to be able to relate and for them people that he wrote this to relate. And they could relate to fortified and castles and stronghold, because at that time they would put silver, their gold and their riches in these castles and things and fortify them and keep people from getting it. So as a fortification, what's the stronghold in your life that holds you? That's protecting all that up in your mind. Stronghold. The strongholds in your life. Where's your weaknesses? What's holding on to you to prevent you to doing what's right in God's word? The strongholds. The weak spots you don't want no one to know about. The things that we have going on in our lives that we protect and we cherish and we hang on to, even though it's sinfulness because of the greed of our own lust for it. Strongholds. There's strongholds in your life, in my life, that we've got to get rid of, whether it's, again, no mercy, no compassion, unforgiveness. I don't know your heart, and I don't know your mind. I don't know what you're thinking about. And you don't know what I'm thinking about most of the time. But God and Jesus does. So when he tells us that we have strongholds, that God's weapons are mighty, we can use it. We can cast down those imaginations. Casting down means to throw away. Just throw it away, get rid of it. And every high thing that will go against God, get rid of those things and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So how do we do those things? First off, we got to find out, where are your thoughts? Where are my thoughts? We've looked at some examples. We found out that there was those who had continual thinking evil in their hearts. We have found out through the pride and countenance of some that there was just no thoughts at all about God. So I don't know where you're at, and you don't know where I'm at. That's the first thing that we can find out in life, is to look at something, a trend or a pattern in the history of something, and read about it and see if it's going on in our lives. If it is, we find out what we need to do about it. And God said, you cast down imaginations in every high thing that exalteth itself against God and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There's where the Christian should be. There's going to be some thoughts that's coming in our lives. We're not perfect. There will be. But we know that we must get rid of them and cast those things away and bring it into captivity. Got to capture it and get rid of it. Wrong things will draw you away. Wrong thoughts. James 1, 12 through 14. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So when we look at this drawn away, you know, God at one point in your life is drawing you to him, isn't he? If we heard a gospel sermon when you were baptized, maybe you had godly sorrow and you looked at the scriptures and you said, I'm being drawn towards God. We can also find out that when Satan, on the other hand, has got the rope in his hand, that he can draw you away. And so drawn away in our own lust and enticed, let's kind of pull an engineering way of looking at this. What an engineer will do is take a problem and he starts backing up, backing up, and backing up. And you get not just looking at that problem, but he wants to find exactly what's causing it, especially if there's a bunch of these products that you're working on. That way you can fix them. So in our life, if we have these problems going on of lust and enticed and that we're drawn away, start backing up. You have issues in your life, and I have issues in my life. Just because there's a byproduct of an outward rage or outward things that's going on in our lives where we get all messed up in our thinking doesn't mean that we're just that way. It means there's something going on. There's some thoughts somewhere in our lives. When we changed our lives to start with and we were transformed as a Christian, were we really transformed or were we just still conformed to the world? Which are we? If we have all these thoughts that make us be that way, this is the part that we need to go to, the thoughts in our lives that produce the lust, that produces the enticements, that produces these temptations that will draw us away. So it's really easy if we back up and look at things and find out exactly what's going on in our lives. If you have a Bible, let's read a little bit more of a lengthy reading to get on the slides. If you pick up a Bible and read with me, please. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. We need to understand that and have faith in something, brethren. If we don't, we're in trouble. We have faith in God that he knows how to deliver you out of your temptations. Because we can't rely just on ourselves. We've got to have God's help in this and the power of that to get our minds right. It says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. He can do both. You know, as Christians, many times we've got to, in our lives, make righteous judgment at times if we're helping someone to find sin in their lives so that they can correct those things. But we have not the ability or not skilled in any way or can even do it, make that person go to hell or heaven. But God can. He has that right. He has given us a fair law to live by. And he can put us in heaven or hell. We just found out and read the scriptures that we need to have faith in God because he can get us out of those temptations that we may have in our lives that hold us. Maybe it's a continual evil thought. Maybe it's a every now and then evil thought. I don't know. But those are the things that we need to know, that God can deliver you out of those areas of temptation. He has that skill because he is God. Why else can God and Jesus look into our minds and our hearts and know more hair than I've got on my head? Know how every number of hairs on my head. How can he know the going of mine whenever I'm just about to go to the left? He knows. And I need to pray at that moment and say, God, forgive me. Get me back on the right path. Those are the temptations. We've got to understand the thoughts that's leading to the enticements, the lust, the things that go on in our lives of making bad decisions that's not godly. God wants you to bear those temptations. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. There's going to be hard times that come in our lives. And sometimes, you know, we find out there's things that go on in our lives that tend to just get us drugged down. Maybe it's bad health, some physical things that go on, emotional, mental. There's things, bad things that happens in our lives. We find out in the Bible that we're full of sorrow here in our days. Does it mean that we have to just get down and live in it? God wants us happy. And he wants us to be of good cheer. And he wants us to get through temptations in our lives, that we can bear it and we move on, that we set examples to others and live in our life with good thoughts. So how do we do it? How do we take thoughts captive? You ever tried that? You throw a rope around it, dig a pit, capture it, use a steel trap. How do you take captive? How do you capture? First off, we need to understand in Romans 12, 2 and 3. How do we do it? We're not conformed to the world, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. To start with, you think about this world. We read a moment ago about Lot, didn't we, that was vexed. Had nothing around him but evil. We know what condition he was in. So we find out, if we have that going on in our lives, and we see a lot of it, don't we? We see a lot on TV. We see liberal media is pounding us right now with all the things that's going on. We see it. We see people around us that we don't necessarily, maybe it's coworkers, friends, we see the world. All this seems to be, how do we do it? Well, we find out that we're not conformed. You ever work Play-Doh, clay? You ever see a kid roll it out and form it? That's what the world's trying to do to you. It's bending you, getting you all upset, getting you angry about issues. Can't conform us. Just can't, because we've been transformed. We've been transformed into a child of God. And when we're transformed, we need to know some things in our lives. One is that we continue to do God's will. That we continue to prove and do the things that are acceptable and that are perfect for God's will. The truth, God's word. We just go back there every time. We see also that we are to think soberly. That we don't think high of ourselves. That's telling me that we be humble. That we bring ourselves down. The word soberly here means moderate thoughts. Sane thoughts. It's exactly the translation on it. If we got our thinking all messed up in this life, and we're thinking ourselves highly than our wives, than our friends, than our coworkers, than our ladies, your husbands. We're thinking ourselves more highly in those areas. You're not going to treat them right. You won't. But if you have sober thoughts, that means that we have moderate thoughts and everything is in control. You look at that word. It's moderate. It ain't way up here thinking high of yourself. And it ain't way down here, oh, poor, pitiful me. It is sober, moderate thoughts, sane thoughts. So as a behavior, God tells us exactly how we're supposed to be. Don't think too high yourself. Think soberly. So we can find out exactly how we can take thoughts captive. Number one is that we are not conformed, that when we were transformed, when we were baptized, we should have been changed. And if we're still acting the other way, then we're not the new creature that the Bible speaks about. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 18 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He's changed you. If he didn't change you, you have all these ways that we're still acting in this life, then you're not changed. You're conformed to this world in the ways of it, not transformed. And me too. If you see me acting one way in the world and then I come up here on Sunday and in this pulpit and speak to you, something is not right. Christians, if these things we've got to control in our lives, in these thoughts, in our minds, in our actions, we have got to live up to what we're speaking. If we're not, we're not a new creature. Nothing has passed away. So if we read about this and we have an old way, then let's correct those in our lives to get back to that new creature. So God has mighty weapons to pull down your strongholds. He's not going to leave us hanging, all these problems and issues in our lives. That wouldn't be fair, would it? He give us a word to live by and then say, okay, just go do it. You ever put someone in the field to work? This is what I expect. This is what I want done. And then you leave them with no tools and no skills, no instruction. God has given that to us. He's given us weapons. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty, through God to pulling down the strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. All those things that we have to fight the strongholds from God are mighty. God's mighty weapons used to take thoughts captive. Weapon number one. In 1 Peter 4, 1 through 2, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. Listen to the wording. Arm yourselves. Pick it up. Grab that weapon. Likewise with the same mind. We need to have the mind of Christ. And you know, when we have the mind of Christ and thinking the way he thinks, and what would Christ do in this situation, we see we're governing ourselves to act and try to be like Christ. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to do the will of God. It's simply to put ourselves to the side and to do the will of God and not ours. Be of the same mind. Weapon two. Romans 8 and 13, for if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Mortify, to put to death. If there's things that we got going on, the deeds in our body that ain't right, we kill it. We just stop it. We stop the things that's in our lives. Mortify the deeds. Just good, stubborn, get in the Word and fight against the evil that may be going on in our hearts, the intents of our heart and our mind. Weapon three. One more reading here as far as the Bible reading in the Bible. Go to Ephesians 6. You know, when you think about weapons, whether it's in the military, you think about weapons on a football team or basketball, your strategy of winning, okay, offensively and defensively, always. This is a got some of both, but it's mostly defensive. It's what we can put on in our lives that will help us to be protected. And we can take that as a weapon. That is something that we can use to fight against by just being protected. In chapter 6 of Ephesians, starting in the 10th verse, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, and having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we can see, when God gives us all these defensive items put on, we need to. We need to put it on for the protection. So we can find out we're protected from all these things. You know, we listed about four things that Satan's throwing at us there. All spiritual. Every bit of it. That's hard to fight. And we need all these weapons that God gives us for our arsenal. You know, let's pick it up, let's put it on, and let's use it in our lives. Let's not get complacent thinking that Satan is not going to attack me, because he is. Weapon 4, 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18. We need to pray. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So when we have these things going on in our lives and we see those temptations coming our way, stop. Make a decision at that point to pray. Ask for strength. God, take this away from me. Help me to go in the right path. Instill in me a right heart. Just like David prayed to his father. Instill in me a right heart that I need to follow. Here's some things that we can think on. You know, you want to put positive things in your life. Take out the negative. There's always a void. First thing that anybody that speaks to anyone about possibly things going on in their life is when you take stuff out, you got to fill it back up. Fill it back up with good positive things. Philippians 4:7-9. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and God of peace shall be with you. These are things that we've got to replace the bad with the good. Fill it back up. And we will find out when we think on these things and we feel it, there's just those bad thoughts are not going to come. We see that we can battle those temptations when they come, if they do, and then get rid of them, taking them captive to the obedience of Christ. So I'm going to leave you with this scripture in conclusion. God's word on your thoughts, good or evil. As far as God's word, whenever we have a thought come in our life, and I was saying a moment ago at the beginning, is it of God or is it of Satan? Brethren, it's one of the two. We don't ride in neutral. It's hard to sit there and ride in neutral, isn't it, with that brain? We have good thoughts that are shining examples and leading others and helping others, or we're tearing down. We're helping build or we're tearing down. Which one are we doing in our lives? Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Remember, God knows our goings. He is weighing. And we find out that we can take a scripture like this from the very get-go. When we have a thought, we can have it and make a decision, a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Is this good or is this bad? That's what God's word is doing for you. Ladies, men, in your relationship with each other, as husband and wife, as friends, as co-workers, as any relationship you have with anyone, if you're honest and you look at this scripture, you can take care of any situation in your life. Start with is taking that engineering degree that many people will have and use. What's the problem? Okay, is it of God or is it of you? And that is pretty simple. If it is of God, then there ain't nothing wrong with it. If it is not of God, then we need to go to the scriptures and we need to correct it in our lives. And that's what the word of God is doing. It's quick and it's powerful. You know, whenever we do hunting, if we get any game, we'll take skinning knives and we will go in and we will field dress that animal. And I don't do it much now, but I used to. I'd cut it up myself and would process it. And there would be knives that you can get into the joint and the marrow and separate the bone. You're getting in there and you have a detailed area. Think of a surgeon with the knives they have. Believe me, they are making precise cuts. That's what God's word's doing for you. It is quick, it is powerful, and it is going into your heart and in your minds in saying either that's right or wrong. And when we have that in our lives, that is a quick way just to go in and take care of any issues in our lives. It really is. I'll leave you with that thought in your mind today. As we leave here, think of this Hebrews 4 and 12 and go to it and study that about thoughts. And it will make a quick decision for you on what kind of thoughts we should have there. And if it's not right, we get rid of them. And if it's a good thought, we dwell on it. I don't know the hearts and the minds that are here, just like the title up there. I don't know your mind, but you do, and God does. He knows your goings. Therefore, if it's not right today, if there's things there that's not right, look to your Heavenly Father for help. If there's temptations there, if there's things that you want to take care of, God wants you to get through those things, to be happy, to repent of them. He wants you to be right with Him. If there's one here today that would like to start their life for Christ and would like to be baptized, you know, some of the things that when we have a unbelief or a non-belief with God's Word, many times when the gospel is preached and taught, and we get to those points of the gospel where we know that we hear the Word of God, that we're to confess His name, that we're to repent of that old lifestyle, and that we were to move on to be baptized, when we get to those areas many times, the mind will fight against it, and there's thoughts there to fight against it. If that's the case, then we need to go to the Word of God and look at the honesty of the Scriptures. And if our heart's being dishonest with it, then we need to go to the appropriate Scriptures when it comes to conversion and read what I need to do in my life for salvation. If I leave off baptism, am I struggling against the Scriptures? Is that of God or is it of me? If you make that decision and your heart's weighing on you to be baptized, then you need to be baptized. Why? Not because I said so, because you sit down and study the Scriptures and found out that the Word of God says that you needed to. The honesty of the Scriptures.